Welcome back, everybody, to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Why? Because that's all I do, amicable divorces. I wanted to spend a little bit of time with you today showing you how to stay calm. Staying calm is the hardest thing ever in a divorce because divorce is all about fear. Divorce is all about life change. Divorce is all about the unknown. Of course, unless you've been divorced before, then you know the drill. But for those of you who haven't been divorced, this is your first experience, you're going to be fraught with fear. And when you're in fear mode, you're not going to be very calm. You're going to say and do things you wish you hadn't. And you're really not going to know how to manage yourself, how to stay focused, make good decisions, and get through this process in the best way possible with the least amount of damage. So I wanted to share with you maybe some techniques in staying calm. And I also wanted to let you know that time is one of the biggest factors in the emotional evolution of your divorce. Time means everything, and time is different for both people. Both spouses don't move through the divorce grieving process, the divorce resilient process, because we kind of do bounce back every now and then, and the divorce decision-making process. People just are on a different trajectory in terms of time. So I just wanted to let you know how this works with the general population so that you don't feel alone and so that you know that what you're going through is perfectly normal. So let's talk about staying calm in general. One of the hardest things to do is to really grab hold of your emotions when you're in a situation like divorce. I mean, this is just in general in your life. When anything disruptive happens, when anything happens to change your reality, you're not calm. Most people are not calm. We get very emotional, we get very hyper, and we start acting out. Physically, we become ill. It changes so much about us. But you really can stay calm in the midst of divorce. You can deal with fear, and you can deal with that fight mode that you feel coming up. Because when we're fearful, the first way we think we can control the fear is by fighting, is by acting out. And that is so the opposite. Because when we act out, especially if we do it on our spouse and our children, calm is not any part of what we're going to get back. We're just going to stir the pot. We're just going to make everybody else excited. Fear and fight are the two aspects of emotional turmoil that you can absolutely get control of. I want you to know that when this happens, though, our brains shut down and our emotions take over. And I want to reverse this. I want to have our emotions calm down and our brains take over. But when we're in fear, our emotions are out of control and they can't be good guides for decision making. So that's why I want to reverse all of this. I want you to learn how to stop, take a breath, start thinking, and stop reacting emotionally. You absolutely don't have to. What do we get out of this cycle of fear? Fight, flight? We get nothing. We get nothing but more of the same. Fear, flight, fright. We get more of the same. So let me just tell you, I get phone calls all the time from people who are either using me or in the process of using me. They call for the first time. And they describe the arguments that they get in, the way the dialogue happens with their soon-to-be ex-spouses. And so I'm going to tell you about a client I have, two different phone calls, the exact same experience, and what I told her. So I have a client who's really very sweet, has a lot on her plate. She works, her husband works, And they have a whole lot of kids. Not only do they have their own children, but she's fostering children. So you know this woman has a really good heart and she has a lot on her plate. I'm not there. I've never met her husband. Her husband's using an attorney. But apparently it's a very volatile relationship. They're living in the same house and they get in fights. So I got a call one day where she just really came home from a drive with her husband and her children. And it was a horrible fight, evidently. The kids are in the car, and now they're watching this go on, and they know their parents are getting divorced. So think how horrible this must be for the kids, but think how overwhelmed this woman must be with everything she has to deal with. So I explained to her, silence is her best friend. Regardless of who started the fight. At some point, you're in the middle of the fight. Maybe she started the fight. I don't know. And when people call me and want to share these situations with me, I don't know who started the fight, especially if I haven't met the other spouse. So let's just say you're in the middle of the fight, regardless of who started it. Here's how you control. Stop talking. Be silent. If one person is arguing and the other person is silent, there's no argument. It's just one person acting out. And if there are children around, and heaven forbid, that's such a drag, but if there are children around, the children will see you being silent, you not engaging, and they'll see the other parent acting out. At least this is half of a decent role model you can provide your children. But the acting out can only go so far. It has to peter out if you don't engage. So in a conversation, don't engage. At some point, just say, I would rather not talk right now. I would rather wait till we're both calm. And so I'm going to disconnect from this conversation. And then disconnect. Don't let anything that the other person says spur you on to react. Stop talking and start breathing. That will really calm you down. Let's say you're getting angry texts and emails. Don't respond. You don't have to respond to anger. It's not required. And it's so easy. You're at work or you're driving in the car. This is the worst part. Or you're sitting and waiting for one of the kids or in a store waiting to be waited on. And you check your phone and you're getting angry texts and emails. Don't return them. You don't have to. Or you can simply return one and say, I'm getting your texts and emails. I do not wish to have an angry conversation. If you would like to speak with me in person, that would be great, but without anger. If you would like to text me without anger, I would be happy to respond. That's how you have to do it. Now look how calm that was. Nothing more can happen, or you're going to eventually have to block the text and emails. But that's really the most extreme situation. If you just say, I do not want to respond in anger to anger, I will talk to you when you're calm, or I will respond to you when you're calm. But you have to take control. And as you take control, you start calming down. And then lastly, don't speak aggressively around the children. That you really, really, really have to practice that. These poor children didn't ask to be born, didn't ask for the divorce. You have to remember that they are in as bad a situation as you are. They're in fear mode. They're insecure. They don't know what's going to happen, and they're not in control. For your children's sake, you have to stay calm. And there's an author that I would love for you to read. He's on Amazon. He has 24 books. His name is Bill Eddy, E-D-D-Y. You can see all of his books on my website, divorceresourceinc.com, divorceresourceinc.com. Bill Eddy is the international guru on handling high conflict situations in legal disputes, and of course, a divorce is a legal dispute. Bill Eddy will be so inspirational. His approach is amazing. He has this method called the BIFF method, B-I-F-F. I love the BIFF method. It works in any high conflict situation. BIFF stands for be brief, informative, friendly, and firm. So when you're engaging in dialogue or if you're engaging in written communication, your response should be brief. I appreciate your emails. I appreciate your text. Informative. I prefer not engaging in anger. Friendly. I would love to communicate with you, but not in anger. And firm. Don't back off. Just say, when you are calm, when we can speak in a more civil manner, I am completely available for you. And then that's it. If the texts and emails continue, if the phone calls continue, do not respond. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Just one more response, just like that. I'm getting your emails and your phone calls and your texts. I do not want to participate in an aggressive conversation. Let me know when you're calm, and I would be happy to communicate with you. That's it. That's all you have to say. And then you've gotten your power back. You've gotten control over yourself back. Nobody can control the other person. It's just not possible. But at least if you control you, you've done the best you can. And if you're dealing in an extreme situation where there is a person with maybe personality disorder or a mental health challenge, bipolar, there's so many mental health challenges. I mean, you will have to go to the extreme and do a restraining order. I mean, that's the extreme, a restraining order. A restraining order over communication and an extreme, a restraining order physically over how close that person can get to you. So know that's the extreme. That's the absolute worst that has to happen. Otherwise, you can control yourself. And that's the best you can do for that situation. Now, let's talk about time, because time is a factor in your emotional stability. It takes time to get back to your center so that you can think rationally, so that you can perform during the day, so that you can engage in your duties, either being a parent, going to work, being a child of your parents, dealing with aging parents, whatever your responsibilities are. They're all ongoing, even though you're in the middle of a divorce, right? So one of my clients, and I learn everything from my clients. If it wasn't for my clients, I wouldn't have this podcast. So one of my lovely, wonderful clients said, Judy, here's what I learned in my divorce. Time is a great healer. Then it becomes business. And this particular couple came to me about 2.5 to 3 years ago. And in that first meeting, when we were filling out the petition set and I was going through the disclosures with both of them, they even asked me, what's the pacing and timing of this? Are we obligated to finish in 6 months? Because in California, it's a 6-month minimum in which the state will allow you to be divorced. It has been a 5-year maximum with children that the state will allow you to participate in the filing, but I'm actually seeing that the court wants you out sooner rather than later. But here's the deal. It takes time to make decisions. I mean, even if you're dealing with the house is a big deal. What if you both agree to sell the house, but it needs work? What if you don't have the money to do the improvements? Time. It takes time. What if one parent was working or one spouse was working and the other wasn't, and you want to reorganize your finances in order to move out, but one one spouse has to get a job. That takes time. But it takes time just to sort through your emotions. And that's a very tangible part of a divorce. You really have to sort through your emotions, A, so you can make good decisions about child support, spousal support, the co-parenting schedule, the division of assets and debts. You need time. So time is a great healer because it allows you to breathe. It allows you to sort out the changes that divorce is creating in your life. And it gives you the time to accept. That's a huge part of moving forward. Accepting that the divorce is going to happen, because it is. Nobody stops a divorce or prevents it from happening. Over and above that, you need time just to be able to deal with your spouse if you have children in a co-parenting relationship. You need time to sort through the cultural, familial, religious, social changes that divorce brings about. So once you've had the time to calm down, to accept, to not blame, then you can start making the decisions about divorce. Then it becomes business. And in mediations, that's what they say to us. Don't let people become emotional. This is a series of decisions. I get it. But the reason for the divorce is the backdrop to the mediation. And in my opinion, I have to let emotions out to a certain extent, but not to the point that you would do in therapy. In therapy, it's all about emotions. And then the therapist sorts through that so that you can refocus, change what you need to change in order to become an evolved human being. That's not my job as a mediator. My job is to get you to make well thought out decisions that you're not going to regret once the divorce is final. So I want to read a little bit to you, notes I made post this conversation with my client, and I want to share this with you. So there are two ways that people get amicably divorced, quickly or over several years. The size of the settlement really isn't the issue in an amicable divorce. It may take a bigger difference in a high conflict divorce. It may make a bigger difference, sorry, in a high conflict divorce, because if you have a lot of assets and there's a whole lot of conflict, that really does take time. But in an amicable divorce, and let me just define amicable, I always like to do this. So amicable doesn't mean you're skipping and hopping and holding hands when you come into the office. Amicable just means you are both committed not to going to court, not going to trial, not needing to put the decision-making in the hands of a judge. Judges love that. They love for you to make decisions on your own. And when you make decisions and we put them in a settlement agreement, the court will never override your decisions. Whether it's spousal support, child support, how you divide assets and debts, what your co-parenting schedule is, the court is perfectly fine with you making all of the decisions yourselves. But the size of the settlement in an amicable divorce is really not the issue. The emotions are the driving factor in a divorce if the emotions haven't been dealt with first. You must sort through your emotions before you start making the decisions that you have to make in a divorce. And as we learned from a previous episode with Virginia Gilbert, who's a marriage and family therapist, MFT, there's the emotional divorce and there's the financial divorce. That's how she looks at this as a therapist. Many would think that the financial aspect of the divorce would be the more problematic aspect, but not so much unless the assets are complicated to unwind. This is what Virginia says as well. Even when the assets are complicated, though, there is a defined process that sorts everything out, and that's the disclosure process. We exchange a list of assets and debts with each other. They have value to them. You can easily see what portion is community, what portion isn't. Unless you have inheritance and real estate and flipping properties and you're putting separate property money in with community property money, yes, that has to be sorted out. But that's not really the norm. Excuse me about that. So the only issue, I am really sorry. The only issue would be if both spouses disagreed with the process of how the sorting of assets and debts worked. Otherwise, the process is fairly straightforward and you go to an attorney and the attorney will explain from a legal point of view what's real and what's not real in the world of community assets. So how are the emotions dealt with? Well, through therapy, through release of blame, through soul searching, through self-reflection, lots of shopping, my favorite, and social activities, and time. Time is the constant. And nobody knows what that amount of time is. It's different for each spouse. And you're going to find as you're going through your divorce or when you embark upon your divorce, you and your spouse are each going to need a different amount of time to get through the emotional aspect. Time heals all wounds is a cliche that fits divorce perfectly. We need time to process the reality that our life is changing. We need to look at our level of responsibility in the divorce. Yes, we do. We have to look at our level of responsibility. Not to bludgeon ourselves or make ourselves feel worse than we already do, but we really do have to come to grips with, okay, how did we contribute to the divorce? Did we believe who our spouse was, or did we try and cover that up? You know, too many times, and it happened again yesterday, that I'll get a call, the person's in shock, a divorce was filed for. How could that be happening? We've had such a great relationship. I cannot tell you how many times this happens. And then as I just let the conversation flow, then the real story comes out. Well, we've never really had a great relationship, 20 years. I got a call yesterday from somebody who's been married 20 years and they've never had a good relationship. The wife filed, wants to serve the husband, and the husband really is shaken up. But as he talked, it shouldn't have been a surprise that there is going to be a divorce, but I totally understand. Even though you know the relationship isn't good, if you haven't mutually decided to file for the divorce and you're told by your spouse, you know, I just filed in court for a divorce and I'm going to serve you, that is actually a shock. Or in my case, I always talk about my divorce. I knew the relationship wasn't good. I wanted to, in my own mind, approach Clark with the idea of going to therapy. And before I could do it, he asked me for a divorce. I almost fainted. I literally almost fainted. Had to go to the restroom. We were in a restaurant just to put cold water on my face. I was that ill. I was that out of control. Yet, I knew the marriage wasn't fabulous. Oh, isn't that interesting? I always go back to my own experience. Even though you know the relationship isn't good, it is a shock when one person files or when one person says to you, I want a divorce, either without therapy or just you've gone to therapy, it hasn't worked, there's been a cooling off period, and now one person is ready to move forward. So yes, it is a shock, but you can't say that the marriage was fabulous. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest. The marriage wasn't fabulous. If it was a fabulous marriage, one person wouldn't be asking for a divorce, generally. Okay, so you need to look at your level of responsibility in the divorce and apologize to your spouse for hurting him or her. That really has to be. And then we need to ask our spouse for forgiveness if we've misbehaved terribly. Ask your spouse for forgiveness. I can't tell you how cleansing that is. It is so wonderful to be able to say, I am so very sorry for everything I've done that got us here. I really would like to apologize and ask for your forgiveness. If I could do it over again, I would. I mean, that just is the turning point when you can do that, when you can share that. I cannot tell you, it's gold. It's absolute. It's your get out of jail free card. Quite often, even when both spouses acknowledge that the marriage isn't working and divorce is imminent, both spouses typically aren't ready to file at the same time. I receive calls from people all the time who say that both spouses agree to the divorce, but that one needs more time before filing. Time is the healer. Let your spouse have time. But do check in. You know, if you're living together, do check in. If you're not living together, you really have to see, you know, if there's a little bit of a time frame. So I would say let a month or two go by if you can. If you can, let a month or two go by. Now that you've both decided that there's going to be a divorce, do your research. Decide who you might want to use. Either if you have to use attorneys, you have to use attorneys, or people like me, document preparation companies, do your research, see who you both like, and then see when you're both ready. Because when you're both ready, it'll be a smoother road. It really will be. What happens logistically in that healing time? That's the next question. Well, one or both spouses may need to look for work or higher paying work in order to live on their own. I mentioned that earlier in this episode, especially when there are children. So this bears a little bit of thought. So let's just say you have a situation, and I can't tell you how frequently this is. One spouse, generally the husband, is the higher wage earner, and the other spouse, the mother, maybe works at the children's school part-time or for a very low wage because they get a break on tuition and because mom can be there when school's out and when they take the kids to school. And so that's around $2,400 a month, maybe $3,000 a month gross. That's not a lot of money. That's not a livable wage. That works when it's a second income. But when you're looking at going out on your own, moms, look for another job. Because depending on what your husband makes, if your husband makes five figures, not six, spousal and child support may not be enough to add on to whatever you're making to be able to live. There's a lot that goes into child support. You know, child support only pays for food, shelter, and clothing. Everything else for your child, which is certainly more than food, shelter, and clothing, you're supposed to both divide. You're not going to have enough money. So you have to reorganize and look for work. Or one spouse may be depressed and unable to face the paperwork necessary to file for divorce, and unable to face the decisions then required for the divorce settlement. I try to be very conscious of the fact that the settlement agreement itself can take someone's breath away. It's long. It's big. You have to read through all this stuff. It's your life on paper. So if one person is depressed, if one person has a substance abuse issue, an anger management issue, bipolar, these are all issues that are going to be triggered in the divorce. Get yourself grounded first. If you're the one that is suffering, I'm sorry, unfortunately, from these mental health challenges, get yourself grounded, get yourself on medication, get yourself into therapy. If there's a 12-step program available, get yourself to do that. Get yourself exercising, dieting. Do something that's enjoyable that takes your mind away from the divorce. Get yourself situated so that you can go through the tough decisions of divorce. And you have to, or it'll destroy you. It'll be one more negative thing on piled onto all these other issues that you have to deal with. So when you're faced with a divorce settlement, so let's just say you're started on your journey to stay calm, to work with time, to use time to heal, not just to fritter it away and avoid the divorce, but use time to get yourself positioned so that you can engage in divorce. Time should be taken to make decisions wisely. That's where you're headed. So you need the time to get yourself ready to file and engage in decision making. And you need the time to make wise decisions. This is not the aspect of the divorce to rush through. It really isn't. Don't push your spouse to make decisions quickly. Come on, let's get going. We have to get this over with. Don't be that person. But don't be manipulated either. You're really walking a tightrope. It's an emotional juggling match. I used to work with the circus, so I love using circus metaphors. Or one of my favorite, engaging with an angry spouse is like putting your head in the lion's mouth. It really is. So time. Look at time as medicine. Look at time as your great healer. I can always tell. So when we're going through the settlement, you know, you're using time properly. Now it's time for the settlement agreement. You've gone through that. You've made your decisions. I or whomever you've hired writes it up, sends you the settlement agreement. It's like 16 to 20 pages. It's a lot to go through. It's huge. Don't rush through it. But acknowledge it. I mean, you have to deal with it. So say something like, I got it. This is when I plan on reading through it. I need the right time and space to sit quietly to go through it. So at least do that. Address time. Let your spouse know when you're going to be able to go through it. Don't just operate in a vacuum. Be respectful to your spouse and be respectful to yourself. You know, I can always tell when people haven't read through the agreement because they respond immediately. Okay, this looks fine to me. When I send an agreement out and I get that back, I know that once we get to the last draft, all of a sudden that person's going to admit they haven't read through it and they need more time. So let's be respectful to the other spouse. If you know you need time, just say, look, I'd rather wait till the weekend, because I obviously do things during the week. Just say, I need the weekend, quiet space. That's when I'm going to have the right time to sit and focus, and I promise I will. So if you can just address time with your spouse will be appreciative of that. If the other spouse is the one who's kind of moving through this a little faster and maybe has gone through their grieving already, yes, that will work. That will work. Your spouse will appreciate that. So, recap, what have we learned today? Stay calm. Don't engage in angry interchanges. If your spouse is in front of the kids or anybody else and angry at you, don't engage. No, don't feel like you're being taken advantage of. Just be silent. If you need to walk away and just say, I do not want to engage in an angry interchange, but I would love to talk to you when you're calm. So you're offering that as an option. Don't respond to angry emails or texts, and don't speak aggressively around the children. So that's on the staying calm side. And then to continue to be calm, know that time is a factor, and how we use time to start the divorce, to work through the divorce, and to be able to make correct decisions so that we don't have buyer's remorse or mediation remorse after the divorce is final. You need to understand how important time is. Time is a healer. And once you allow time to do its magic and help you heal while you're engaging in the healing process, then your decisions for divorce will be the better decisions. They will be the best they can be. Well, I hope this has helped. Everybody needs help organizing their emotions in divorce. You have been listening to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Please subscribe to this. Please send this to your friends. There's so much valuable information. We upload every Wednesday, and I absolutely appreciate every one of you who listens. Call me, email me. My company is Divorce Resource Incorporated, divorceresourceinc.com. My email address, judy@constructiveuncoupling.com. Judy, J-U-D-Y, @constructiveuncoupling.com. Please, if you would like any topic to be dealt with that you haven't heard or seen posted already, please feel free. I'm open to all suggestions. Take care. Go in peace. Go amicably. Talk to you next week.